With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. As we experience some uncomfortable humidity in the Northwoods this week, you may have heard the term corn sweat being thrown around. WXPR's Katie Thorson talked with a climatologist about what it's referring to and how it's impacting our weather.
Right now, crops like corn are reaching their peak vegetative phase. It's when they want to take in a lot of water. The crops pull up water from the ground through the roots and stores it in the plant. Then as the corn photosynthesizes, it needs to open up pores so it can take in CO2, as Josh Bendorf explains it. He's the climate outreach specialist at the Wisconsin State Climatology Office.
There's a higher concentration of water in the leaves compared to the outside atmosphere. So when they open those pores, some of that water comes out. And that's a process called transpiration, which is sometimes referred to, like you said, as corn sweat.
It's a process all plants go through, and one that Bendorf says is only part of the equation. On warm, sunny, breezy days, water from plants, soil, and bodies of water can all evaporate into the air.
We call this evapotranspiration, which is a combination of evaporation and transpiration. So that's like the land's contribution to humidity this time of year.
Bendorf says estimates from Iowa have shown that corn sweat can add several degrees to the dew point temperature, which on its own might not be much, but when it's added to the warm, moist air coming up from the south this time of year, it can be the difference between uncomfortable and miserable.
We could have a humid day here without the corn, without like the corn sweat and the other plants transpiring. But, you know, it might bump, you know, dew points from being, you know, upper 60s to being low 70s. So that's kind of the scale that we're talking about here.
Dew points in the Rhinelander area were in the low 70s yesterday. They're forecasted to stay in the high 60s until overnight tonight when they start to drop. For WXPR News, I'm Katie Thorson.
The Community Blood Center hopes to encourage blood donations today through a special event called the Stat Blood Drive. It takes place at the Hodag Dome today and is part of a series of similar events. It was known in past years as the MASH Blood Drive. John Higgins, president and CEO of the Community Blood Center, says the drive comes at a critical time. He says busy summer schedules and vacations lead to fewer blood donations, but the need for blood never slows down. All donors will receive a T-shirt and breakfast or lunch. First-time donors will get a $25 gift card. In August, stamp blood drives are planned in Merrill and Wausau. You can schedule a donation at communitybloodcenter.org/stat. We have details on how to donate at our website, wxpr.org. Just look for this article. A Wisconsin professor calls the federal tax cut and spending bill a defining piece of legislation that ultimately tested Republican lawmakers' loyalty to President Donald Trump. The question now is, what impact will it have on their own political futures? Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
It's been more than 2 weeks since Trump signed his One Big Beautiful Bill Act into law, and the nation is still combing through all it entails. UW-Madison political science professor Barry Burden says the effects of the bill's most controversial parts, like changes to Medicaid and SNAP, won't be felt until after the next midterm election. He says it's fair to think the timing is strategic.
It's almost certain that there are Republicans saying, look, this is going to hurt me back in my state or district as I try to win re-election next year. Can we please put off the pain for the Medicaid recipients and the SNAP recipients until after the midterms?
Burden says the vote became a decision on whether to support the president rather than a focus on the bill's merits. Democrats have already seized on the opportunity to target their GOP colleagues' seats in next year's midterms, including Wisconsin Republican Representatives Derek Van Orden and Brian Steele. Both Van Orden and Steele continue to face criticism for supporting drastic cuts to the safety net programs their constituents rely on. Burden says while the attention was primarily focused on tax cuts and Medicaid, many elements of the bill were not thoroughly scrutinized. He thinks the nation will continue to discover consequences of the new law for years.
It's common for Congress nowadays to pass omnibus bills that are really large budget packages, and it's difficult for any member of Congress to keep track of all the things that are there. But this was one of those omnibus bills on steroids.
Many provisions didn't get any discussion on the House or Senate floor, like a $40 million National Garden of American Heroes sculpture park. Burden says Trump's pressure to sign the bill by July 4th was a key factor in getting it passed.
Since President Trump took office in January, there's been very little legislating. Almost no bills passed through the House and Senate and sent to President Trump's desk. This was one. This was a hallmark piece of legislation. It's going to be a defining piece of legislation in next year's midterms.
I'm Judith Ruiz Branch reporting.
The Green Bay Packers' profits from operations rose 39.3% for the 2025 fiscal year, thanks largely to the record of $432.6 million it received in national revenue from the NFL. The NFL's only publicly owned franchise revealed its expenses and revenues Wednesday. Each of the NFL's 32 teams received $432.6 million from the NFL. That mainly comes from the league's television contracts. The Packers reported $719.1 million in total revenue and $635.4 million in total expenses. An Illinois man has received a four-year federal prison sentence for a fraud scheme that hit over 100 investors in Wisconsin and Illinois. 55-year-old Ronald Palick of McHenry, Illinois, was also ordered to pay more than $1.6 million in restitution at his sentencing in federal court. The U.S. Attorney's Office for Eastern Wisconsin says Palick promised investors he would double their money through an iron condor strategy of investing, even though he knew he had never been able to generate that type of profit. Instead, Palick lost victims' funds in the market or spent them for his own benefit. He'll be on supervised release for 3 years after his prison term. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.